We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I'm going to teach you a little lesson about gambling here.
Howard Simon.
I know the most important lesson.
Which is?
Use other people's money.
That's one. And you can't lose if you don't bet. You also can't win if you don't bet.
Jeremy White.
They always cover. It's the Giants. So I'm going to bet the Patriots.
Later that same evening.
I get to the screen. I'm like, nah.
2 hours later.
Then it's 14-14. I'm, oh, good. All right. Thank you. I'm glad that I didn't make this bet because, man, I would have felt like such an idiot.
On WGR.
Well, hey. They can't win them all.
Sports Radio 550.
Yeah, they covered.
Never been against the Patriots.
Listen, Evan Abrams of the Action Network. Talk to him every Thursday on the afternoon show. I like the segment. He talked me into it. But the Patriots, they cover all the time. And then I didn't do it.
How do the Bills do against the spread historically?
I don't know. But the other stat he had was, it was kind of funny to hear him say this, that, you know, Teddy Bridgewater's good, but he's not that good. And then he went on to say that Bridgewater's teams against the spread in the last 15 games are like 12-3 against the spread, which would mean that, yes, apparently his teams are better than,
I guess he's doing
than the spread seems to think.
Wow.
So anyway.
803-0550 to join us. It is Football Friday. Yeah, even though the Bills aren't playing, we're talking some football. We got some Sabres stuff coming up too. But anyway, whatever's on your mind this morning, you can grab a line and join us. Randall and Blaisdell, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Coming out of the bye, where do you guys see the Bills as record-wise at the beginning of the season?
4-1 coming out of. I'm predicting their record will be 4-1 coming out of the bye.
After the bye, so when I did my own picks, I had them going 6-5 with losses to both Pennsylvania teams in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Dallas, and the Patriots. Out of those games, do you think they could do better than 6-5?
I don't remember. Mines are tracked, so I can go back and check mine.
You mean as of right now, or
before the season began?
Did I think they could go better than 6-5 down this stretch?
Down the stretch, yeah.
I think I probably would have said it was possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I still would. You'd still think they would have beaten Miami twice, Denver. The Jets.
We've learned the Jets are probably worse, and Washington's probably worse, and Denver is a little bit worse than maybe I thought.
But that was a home game. I think you still would have felt confident when the schedule came out. I think
Baltimore,
you would have looked at five games in the back end and said they should win those five.
Cleveland doesn't look as tough. Baltimore kind of does.
Pittsburgh
doesn't look as tough.
Yeah.
New England doesn't look as unbeatable as they have before. So, you know, a lot of things changed. That's why we have you pick the Bills every week, because every week things change.
But anyway, yeah, I think even when the schedule came out, which I think was your point, Randall, yes, you would have gotten to five wins on the back end of the schedule and then had to look at the rest.
So 10-6, I just think is legitimate at the end of the season.
10-6 was in my mind once they beat Cincinnati.
Gotcha.
I mean, if you look at, thanks for the call, 10 wins was... I think it was after the Cincinnati game. Maybe it was after the Giants game. Probably more likely after the Bengals game. When they beat Cincinnati and they're off to the 3-0 start, even if I think they're going to lose to New England, if they beat Tennessee, that's four, and then you look at the back end of the schedule, and five wins out of the bye are waiting for you. Just don't screw. There are five don't-screw-this-up games. The Dolphins twice, Washington, the Jets, and Denver are five wins waiting for you to claim, as long as you don't mess them up or you don't have a barrage of injuries. So 10 wins to me right after the Bengals game was already thinking 10. And now I think you can go beyond 10. Maybe not as crazy as someone saying 13, but you can get this team beyond 10. The way their defense is playing, you know, if their offense keeps going on an upward trajectory, and that's a big question, you know, with whatever Josh Allen looks like. And the offensive line was having, I think, some issues in terms of pass protection. Now you got to monitor the injuries. You know, hopefully Morse's ankle is okay and Seki was hurt. Ford is, I think he's in concussion protocol, right? So now you got to monitor the injuries on the offensive line. Hopefully you stay healthy up front. But you know, I was thinking 10 a few weeks ago. I think you got to think beyond that now. Try and get beyond 10.
Do you think it bothers Peyton Manning that Brady passed him last night? Brady moves past Peyton Manning all-time passing yards. Those two had a great rivalry, right?
Yeah.
They were 1-2. It's always, for a long time, it's been Brady, Breeze, and Manning. And, you know, Brady and Manning played a lot. Same conference, met in the playoffs, had their battles in the AFC Championship, other playoff. You know, Brady's record against Manning was pretty good. It's Belichick against whoever Manning would have had at the time. Do you think he's upset about it?
No.
To lose number. He was number one.
Yeah.
And he's since been passed by both Drew Brees and Tom Brady. You don't think it bothers him?
No, because what is he knows, he knew in all likelihood it was going to happen. Unless you think he's sitting there going, Brady's not playing until 45.
All right, so you know
or they're going to drop off.
You probably know it's going to happen if those two guys keep playing. But if those two guys had somehow stopped, you'd also know. Well, let's say for a long time. Who's going to be
around for
20 years?
That's an interesting discussion.
Who's the next?
I don't have the list in front of me. Who's next?
To get in that group?
Who could even do this?
Become the all-time leading passer.
Yep. We're talking, what, 70? How many is it? 70-something thousand yards?
Yeah. I mean, it takes two decades.
For example, right now, who is Brady Breeze? Who's the next highest active passer?
Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger. Well, forget it. He's not doing it.
He's not doing it.
He might not. Maybe he plays one more year. Maybe.
He needs 16,000 yards to do it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Then you're at Eli and Rivers. By the way, those three. That draft class. Those three, 56,000 yards each.
Wow.
And then there's JP, who's like,
and
what?
He's a little lower than 56,000.
I'll scroll.
Did he have 6,000?
Matt Ryan is 26,000 yards away.
Where's Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers is 30,000 yards away.
He's more than Ryan. Aaron Rodgers is 30,000 yards away.
I mean, he'd have to get 5,000 yards per season for six seasons, of course.
But he's still...
Just to catch the guys that are still on the move.
This is if Breeze and Brady retire at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah, good luck with that. I wouldn't expect both to retire. Maybe one will. I hope one will. I think I think if you're Peyton Manning, you know, you're pretty certain when you get done, you're pretty certain one of those guys, somebody's going to break your record. Somebody's going to pass you, if not
just
both.
The way the league works.
And the numbers that Brady and Breeze put up.
If you want Matt Ryan on this one, Matt Ryan is 34 years old.
So okay. Seven, eight more years.
And Matt Ryan is 34 years old, and he is 30,000 yards. He would need 30,000 yards.
He'd have to average a little over four and play. If he's playing, say, seven more years, that's a little over 4,000 yards a year.
It's a lot of work.
Tough. That's really hard.
And then you go down, you've got Stafford and Flacco and Alex Smith. These guys are way down. Fitz is at 29,000. He's only got to go about 50. Wow. I mean, is Mahomes a real conversation here? It's year two.
It's too way, 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 way too early.
But if he stays healthy and plays as long as he wants.
Well, he'd have to play 15 years? That's averaging 5,000 yards a year, which is really, well, first off, no one's ever done that.
Average 5,000? No, not yet.
So, and do it for 15 years to get to 75. I'm not going to do, I don't know, should we be doing this? This is the no one's ever going to break DiMaggio's hit streak discussion. Someone going to break the all-time passing yards record? Look how much you have to do and how long you got to play.
I do think that's different than streaks. You have one day where you have a bad day and streaks are over. Whereas
that quarterback's got to play at least 15 years, more likely 20.
Right, but it's cumulative. You don't have to, it's not a streak. Streaks are tougher.
But it's hard. I mean, like I said,
well,
can you play 15 to 20 years and average 4,000 to 5,000 yards a year?
Put it this way. In the last 7 years, the record has been broken four times. Maybe not 7 years. Brett Favre in 2010 retired.
Okay.
Marino had it and has since been passed by four. By Favre, Manning, Breeze, and Brady.
And Marino, let's see, his record would have stood for about 10 years-ish.
And now he's 10,000 yards back of the other the four that passed him.
Yeah. But which, you know, you'd have to say, you know, we are talking about prolific quarterbacks passing him. Like who... There are good quarterbacks in the league. We're talking about prolific Hall of Fame, elite-level quarterbacks. How many guys am I going to project out to do that?
Here's a statement about the league. Once Matt Ryan gets another 1,000 yards, he passes Warren Moon. And of the top 10, Seven will be active. Six will be active.
Right. Well, that I'm not surprised about.
Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger, Eli, Rivers, and Matt Ryan.
So Breeze is at 70, just under 75. All right. Now
he's going to get there this year to 75.
He's going to be back. Well, let's say he plays in, where are we at? As soon as there's 10 games left, he's still probably a few weeks away. Let's say he plays in 6 games.
Okay.
And 1,800. I guess I could probably get him to, he's 1,200. He should get to over 76, maybe 77 this year. He plays one more year.
80.
80, 81,000 yards. All right, so let's say, right? I don't think, it doesn't sound like Breeze is retiring after this season. There's been no indication, right? Let's say he plays one more year, and he's at 81,000 yards. I mean, you know, that's just, I can't even fathom someone passing him. Even in the pass-happy league, and, you know, they're protecting quarterbacks and all this. Man, that is a truckload of yardage to get to. 81. I mean, Marino, one of the greatest ever, had 61,000 yards. I know the game's changed.
A lot.
I get it. You know, Jim Kelly's numbers today would be average, right? But, man, 81,000 is a heavy, heavy lift, no matter who we're talking about. I mean, Rodgers would have to play, probably, he would also have to play another, he'd need about 30. Yeah, he'd have to play like another 6-7 years at least, I would think, to be able to chop top Breeze. I just don't see anybody getting 80-plus thousand yards.
I do wonder if Brady is motivated to try to be number one. If he wants to play till he's 45, does he want to do it because he thinks he can catch Breeze and pass him?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like we you know, these guys are all team first, and Brady's one of the best all time, and probably already has most people saying, if you were to ask the world who's the best quarterback of all time, maybe Tom Brady gets the most votes. Maybe.
Oh, I think so.
You think so? Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, I do think
I mean,
so.
I don't think it's a maybe. I don't want to just say it and assume it.
I think most people would do that.
I think it's a fair guess. Maybe not most people. Maybe he gets the plurality. Whatever.
The majority?
Not the majority, but more people than anybody else. Say Brady.
Does he carry the electoral votes too, or is that a right. different discussion for another day?
And I wonder how much it would mean to him if he is motivated to do that. If he sees Breeze go down with an injury and thinks, ah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I got a chance to gain some ground here. He's 2,600 yards behind Breeze.
That's a good chunk.
It is a good chunk. But he wants to. He openly talks about wanting to play almost forever.
Yeah. That's, I mean, 2,600 yards. I was going to say half a season, but Brady doesn't throw for 5,200. That's almost three quarters of a season. Essentially, you're behind Drew Brees in terms of passing yards. And what did we just talk about? Something's up with his offense. I mean, that is not a prolific Patriots offense. I wouldn't think, I mean, if I'm Brady, here's the other part of the discussion. Are you fixated on passing and staying ahead of Brees and playing beyond when he retires?
Or did you just want to get past Manning?
Or did you want to do that and you got the rings? Or does he look behind and go, Ryan, Rodgers?
No, definitely no.
Like, I got to get to 85.
Definitely no.
Okay. I don't think he does it to beat out Brees. I really don't. I mean, he is, in my opinion, he is the greatest of all time. I think he is. You think about it now, how many years ago were we having Peyton versus Brady debates? 10 years ago, I don't know when it was. I mean, he's blown by everybody. You know, the Super Bowl berths, the Super Bowl rings, everything he's done. He's number two in passing. I can't believe, if I'm Brady, I don't think he would stay with the game. If he's like, you know, I've had a good career. I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I got to pass Breeze. I just don't think that would be it for him. He walks away as the greatest quarterback of all time. I mean, the dominance he's had over the division, of course, but even the conference. Well, they've been to 8 straight AFC championship games? 8, 9? I don't know what it is. And every year, this is how you know the guy's good. When you wake up and you go to work on a September in week one and you go, did the Patriots make the Super Bowl last year? They probably did. I can't remember.
That happens all the
time.
We
always have to ask ourselves, was New England in the Super Bowl last February or January? I don't think he sticks around just to make sure he's beyond Breeze. I could actually see Breeze playing longer than Brady. I mean, the injury he's got now, it's nothing serious. It's a thumb. And I think he's on a one-year contract. Maybe just keep signing a series of one-year deals in New England. He's still good. They're still good. You know, if he's healthy, when he comes back, if he comes back healthy and stays healthy, they're in the mix for Super Bowl contender for sure in this league. I don't think Brady's going to play longer than Breeze, and I don't think he'd stick around just to be number one.
Brady's 2 years older.
45, and Breeze is 43? Okay, so Brady's 45?
No. Wait, when they're done, you mean, or not, or now?
Oh, no, Brady wanted to play till he was 45.
No, Breeze is 40 right now.
Okay, so all right.
And Brady is 42.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, Breeze might put in two more years, and they both might end on the same age.
Yeah. Do you think, like, if they ever see each other in the offseason, like, they ask each other, so how long are you going to play for? Well, you know, I was thinking a couple more years. Yeah, you know, me too. I wonder if they actually have that discussion.
Texter says, what Brady wants is more rings than any other franchise. He has six. Pittsburgh has six. He wants more rings than the Steelers. That's what he's after.
That'd be pretty impressive.
It would
An
be.
An individual having more rings than the winningest franchise? That, I never thought about that. That would be, you know what?
What if that's what he's going
that's
for?
That's pretty cool. I got to tell you, as much as we despise New England, that would be pretty darn amazing if he's able to pull that thing off.
What terrible luck for the Bills to have not only have this guy be around for so long, but in the division.
No one's ever done what he's done
of course.
To a division. I mean, this is just crazy. The run they've had. You can talk about guys that have dominated their division, right? Brett Favre would have dominated his division and all these things, and Manning when he was in Indianapolis, but oh, my Lord. No one has done it as long as he's done it, and with the winning percentages he has against the Bills and the Jets, and then, to a lesser extent, the Dolphins. It's just this is one of those things where you go back in time, and Bledsoe gets hurt, and Brady steps in, and someone tells me, oh, by the way, no one else is going to have a sniff of this division for the next 20 years, except for 1 year when this guy's going to get hurt on opening day. You would have looked at them like they were crazy. There's no way you would have. 20 years dominating the division? Impossible. You can't do that. The team will change over around him. The something will happen. There's no way. It's a salary cap. You can't do that. It's incredible what he's done. Unbelievable. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. It is Football Friday. Yep, indeed it is. A bye week, but we're still talking football with you. It is brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills. Nate Geary is going to be hanging out here for an hour from 8 to 9 and joining us in studio to do a little bit of, we'll kind of do like the afternoon show does, a roundtable with Sal, but we'll do it with Nate. We've been talking about, and we'll take your Sabres calls too. Paul's going to talk hockey with us next. At the bye, you can look back or look forward or do both. Who or what you love through the first 5 weeks? What do you need to see coming out of the bye? And Eric tweeted in on the part what they've loved so far. Three and outs by our defense. Looking forward, need more turnovers and points from our defense. There. Well, this is the New England discussion, right? Like their defense,
you don't need more turnovers.
The defense and special teams has five touchdowns for the Patriots. They're about, I think I read they're on pace where they were for turnovers last year. They're about right about where they were for last year's takeaway.
I would say, again, Miami is when you get anything you need. A pick six, a strip sack.
Maybe a return?
Yeah.
Anything. Last night, New England got a touchdown when the Giants punter punted the ball off the back of the helmet of his personal protector. You could use one of those. Yeah, his punt hit the guy in the back of the helmet. New England scooped it up and scored.
That counts as a blocked punt?
Yeah. What else would you call it?
I don't know. Something else. I mean, something else.
Is this like team rebound discussion?
I mean, the butt fumble was given the butt in front of the fumble. It wasn't just the Patriots forced a fumble. It was the butt fumble.
Blocked punt. I'm struggling for a funny line here. But yeah, he blocked and went off the back of the helmet of his protector. Whoops. 803-0550 to join us. We'll take your football comments. You want to talk some Sabres? That's cool too. Sabres play Florida tonight, and we'll have the game here on WGR. Paul breaks it down in a moment.
It's Paul Hamilton.
I just love this reggae music. It's my favorite of all time. I wish they would just play this on autopilot and never turn it off. It's just so great. I love it so much.
On WGR.
What the heck was that from? Paul coming up in a moment because the Sabres are playing tonight. There was football last night in New England, 6-0. No surprise. They beat the Giants. I don't know if it would have been any different if they did have Barkley, Shepard, and Ingram playing, but it didn't help. 35-14, the final. Tom Brady is now number two all-time in passing yards. He passed Peyton Manning last night, throwing for 334 yards and interception at a couple of rushing touchdowns. So the Pats 6-0 play the Jets next. Robert Kraft says he's still holding out hope that Rob Gronkowski might return this season. And for those of you hoping AJ Green is trading, if you believe what Zach Taylor says, the Bengals head coach, Then he's not going anywhere. Yeah, he said yesterday they're not trading A.J. Green. Sabres play the Panthers tonight, 7 o'clock. Paul on that in a moment. Tampa beat Toronto 7-3. Leafs have lost 3 straight. Montreal lost their home opener to Detroit 4-2. Boston dropped a 4-2 decision to Colorado. And the Oilers are 4-0. They beat New Jersey in a shootout. The Orange lost to NC State in Thursday night college football 16-10. Houston will now face Paul's Yankees in the ALCS. The Astros beat Tampa 6-1. Game one of the American League Series tomorrow night in Houston. Game one of the National League Series tonight in St. Louis. The Cardinals will host Washington. Headlines brought to you by Lockport Country Club. Under 32 years old and crazy about golf, Lockport Country Club, one of the area's finest golf courses, has a great deal for you. Get a junior executive membership for only $193 a month, including all monthly dues and fees. If you'd like more information, just visit lockportcountryclub.com. Paul joining us on the Western Hotline shortly. Either that or Derek Kramer just whistled somebody 2 minutes for interference. He was giving me some sign, and he basically did the cross. That's the interference sign, right? Yeah, he crossed his arms and basically did a referee calling for an interference penalty, and I just kind of threw me. Paul joining us on the Western Hotline, and it is brought to you by Losi and Ganji Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm good, Paul. It's Friday. You know, the weather's okay. It's not snowing or anything. So, yeah, Friday. I'm having pizza for lunch. So
today I can actually wish you a happy weekend.
Yes.
Like I tried to do yesterday.
Yes, don't do that. Yeah, today would be more apropos. A number of things I want to get to, and the game tonight, of course, here on WGR, by the way. You have an article up at WGR550.com. Rasmus Dahlin, by the way, is tied for third in the league in scoring. He has 7 points in the first four games. And talk a little bit about your article, because the gist of it is that Colin Miller, one of the offseason pickups, has now been put in a mentoring role with Rasmus Dahlin. Why and how is he doing?
He's really enjoying it. He said it's not something that, you know, he'll turn 27 and later this month, and it's really nothing he's had to do with the Bruins or with the Golden Knights. And it's something that he's really enjoying, especially since it's with the guy who's so good, you know, and he just enjoys playing with him in general. But, you know, it's little things like Dahlin, when he makes a mistake like he did the other night, he really gets very, very upset with himself and down on himself. And Miller and both he and Ralph Krueger said that's not uncommon for a 19-year-old who was expecting a lot out of himself, trying to play in the best league in the world. So, you know, just little things like that, you know, calm down. There's more game to play here, you know. Let's learn from the mistake. And we have a shift coming up in less than a minute here. So, you know, let's not dwell on it. Let's move on. And, you know, little things like that, or, you know, where he's supposed to be or how to prevent a mistake, or, you know, this is a good play. You know, they're constantly talking when they come off the ice. You know, he's giving him little tips on things. And Darlene's like a sponge. He likes that kind of stuff. He likes it when the coaching staff goes over tape with him, or he likes it when he gets some instruction from Miller, you know, on the fly like that. And overall, I think he's been better. Of course, you don't like the turnovers that we saw the other night in the neutral zone. But I think there have been a lot less of it this year. I think there's an improvement with that in his defensive play. And, of course, there's been an improvement in his offensive play, too, just by, you know, how he's quarterbacked the power play and how well he's done with that.
The whole mentoring thing, I was curious, as you're talking about Colin Miller, I was wondering, if did anybody do that last year? Because it felt like Rasmus would have played with just about every defenseman that was on the roster last year at some point.
Guys would talk to him. I remember Bogosian saying, you know, he would talk to him or things like that. But I think they were so bad last year, a lot of the defensemen are trying to figure out for themselves what was going on. I think they needed to be mentored themselves and calming down, and because there were so many mistakes that they would make and just glaring errors because they didn't know what they were doing out there. And so, yeah, it was going on, but it wasn't specifically just one guy. It was more of a group type of thing.
What do you notice? The whole thing about, you know, you wrote about in the article you mentioned a moment ago about Dahlin being too hard on himself. Do you notice that during games?
Yeah, you can see it. You can see how angry he'll get. I've seen him snap his stick every now and then, and you know, against the post or over the boards as he goes over there, you'll see him kick the boards or slam it with his stick or things like that. So, you know, he's a very prideful person, and he doesn't expect himself to do things like he did that led to the Army a shorthanded goal the other day. You know, just a give the puck away type of mistake, and he expects better out of himself. And that's the thing. I mean, coming over here, he knows he's going to be playing in the best league in the world. But until you actually get out there and start playing, I don't think you realize how good everybody is. And things that you got away with in the Swedish Hockey League, you're not going to get away with in the National Hockey League. And I think that's been a hard learning experience for him, that how come this isn't working here? You know, I'm sure you're thinking in the back of your mind, and not in an arrogant way, everybody told me how good I am. I was the number one pick. I'm the guy that they said, you know, is better than anybody's been in years. And how come I can't play better than I'm playing? I expect better out of myself, type of a thing. And that you know, gets him riled up.
It's funny. I'd look at it in a reverse way, that he comes over at 18, playing in the best league in the world, playing a difficult position, getting a good amount of ice time, getting a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, and it's not like the guy is struggling. It's for a kid of that age to come in and do what he did and look comfortable in that role with all the pressure that comes with being, you know, the number one overall pick. I would look at it from that standpoint as opposed to the reverse.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He looks at it as, I shouldn't be making these errors.
Okay.
You know, what's wrong? Why am I making these errors? Because that's unacceptable. And I think that's how the best players become the best players, is they are very picky about their game, and they don't accept any mediocrity at all. And they work hard at their craft, and they work hard at what they're doing. And I think that's why they become the best.
Paul, Ralph Krueger has kind of ditched, for the most part, morning skates. And we talked to him about that earlier this week. And he talked about sports science and all this, and tracking players, and you know, wanting to do everything you can to keep players fresh. And he actually mentioned in the Premier League that players in those leagues don't really move at all mornings of games or days of games. The reason I'm bringing this up is that the Panthers, who are in tonight, had a bag skate on Wednesday. Quenneville was mad about their performance against Carolina. Bobrovsky got pulled. So they had a bag skate. So next time we have Krueger on, we got to ask him how he feels about those. And Paul, how do you feel about those on the NHL level when you have a bag skate?
The last time I have seen a bag skate was John Muckler. That's how long ago.
Can I interrupt real quick for anybody? What's a bag skate?
You skate and skate and skate and skate.
With no pucks.
No pucks.
And possibly throw up at some point?
Yeah, Keith Yandel said it was old school. Wow. Hopefully it lights a fire. The full 60 minutes. I'm sorry. That's about 60 minutes in the game. But the bag skate was pucks to one side. Players resumed sprints up and down the ice. Hard-nosed one-on-one sessions.
Okay.
So it was a very, very hard practice that they had on Wednesday.
Because Lindy Ruff would say to me, he goes, what does that accomplish? He said, I'll skate him. He said, but we're going to be doing it with pucks. He said, we're going to be trying to accomplish something while we're doing it. And I've seen Lindy Ruff do it, you know, whereas you may as well ditch the pucks and have a bag skate, because everything is like at sprint speed and there's no breaks in between. But he's doing it in the middle of drills. You know, he always felt, what are we going to get out of that practice if I stand here for an hour and yell skate, 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 and we're not doing any drills and we're not doing anything with pucks or anything like that? So that was his version of a bag skate. But, and every coach has been here since, if they do something like that. Housley, when he did something like that, it was always he'd be out there screaming and turning red while he's screaming, but they'd have pucks and they'd be doing drills. They'd be just doing them at full sprinting speed.
Hey, have you seen Krueger get angry yet at practice or at any point?
Not angry where he's screaming and yelling, but I've seen him get a little bit stern. You know, that, you know, this is the way we want to do things, and, you know, maybe do it over again. You know, bring the line back and have them do it over again. And but he's not screaming at them. He's not insulting them. It's like, they'll go, no, this is what we want. We want you over here. We want you over here. Let's do it again, you know, type of a thing. It's not
swearing and screaming and yelling and that type of thing.
What is a Ralph Krueger practice like, Paul, in terms of whether it's I was going to say tempo, teaching, grease board work, you know, or maybe you should tell me what are the things you look for from a coach at practice and how does he run his?
No white erase board or anything like that. I've never seen a coach that doesn't, but he said they've already done all that.
Okay.
That they actually have like a prep work for practice. And they've done all the, this is what the drill's going to look like, this is how I want you to do, all the dry erase board things and everything is done beforehand and before they hit the ice. So when they hit the ice, it's going to be a very crisp and type of a practice. So most players will know the drills before they start. On occasion, as they're getting in position for a drill, I'll see a player go over and ask them about. They might be a little bit confused or... On a rare occasion, I say maybe twice, I've seen them start the drill and not have it right, and he'll just stop them and say, no, I want you here, bang, and go. But everything is just movement. It's Chris, all right, we're going one drill to the other.
Yeah.
Let's go for water. You know, they have water, and then they're right back in. It's fast. He likes a pace. He'll always do two-on-ones, three-on-ones in the beginning of practice, but he's doing it to get pace. He's doing it almost as a warm-up and to get the pace going in practice and get the speed going in practice because everything he wants done in practice is fast. That's why you don't see hour-and-a-half sessions and that type of thing because, yeah. You know, he's got them moving out there.
The one other thing I want to ask you about, we were talking about this yesterday. Jeremy brought up the fact that it feels like the Sabres go out west in the first month every year. Turns out this will be the, and west meaning either West Coast or Western Canada trip. This is the fourth straight year, and I think the fifth time in the last 6 years that they've hit one of those two trips in October. Do players care about that stuff? Do they like getting a Western trip out of the way? Does any of that stuff matter when that falls in the schedule?
No, but not really. And he's doing it a little bit differently. He's going to take advantage of that 3 o'clock game and get out right after the game.
Yeah.
And that'll get them back in California, I would estimate, around 8:30 at night, California time. So if you can keep yourself awake until 11 o'clock or so, California time, you're basically right on clock, you know, the first day that you get there. All right, we go to bed at 11 o'clock. We get up and you know, you're right on West Coast time as you get there. So, you know, he's going to take advantage of that. Most coaches would either practice on Tuesday and leave right afterwards, or leave on Tuesday. Lindy Ruff used to like to do that. Leave like 9 o'clock in the morning, and right when they get to the destination, I remember one time in Edmonton, right on the bus, right to the rink and practice right off the plane. You know, get the blood flowing when, you know, you get off the plane. But I think that's a good idea by Krueger. You know, you got the 3 o'clock game, go straight to the airport, take off, get to California around probably 8:30 California time. And then, you know, you're all set up for your practice the next day.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious about that. All right, Mr. Hamilton, have yourself a marvelous weekend. And as always, sir, thank you for giving us your time on the show. And, you know, I can't say good luck in the playoffs to, your baseball team. I thought I could get it out to be civil. I don't want to be a jerk to you, so I won't even mention it.
This isn't the matchup I wanted. I was rooting for Tampa Bay.
Oh,
not that
sure.
They couldn't lose to Tampa Bay, but I think – they can't hit Houston pitching.
Yeah.
They never have been able to hit Houston pitching. And I know this is a different team. Maybe this team can, but I didn't want to find out. But we're going to find out.
Agreed. No, I think it actually makes, though, Paul, from my standpoint, a fascinating storyline to see that explosive Yankees offense against that great, you know, the three starting pitchers that Houston's going to throw out should make for a fantastic series. So
good
enjoy.
Good thing Cole had to pitch in the fifth game. And,
last night, yeah.
At least they won't see him for a little bit.
He set a DS record for strikeouts?
Yeah, he had 25, I think, in two starts.
Appearances. 25.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's just their staff is unreal. All right, good luck. Well, no, good luck.
See,
Paul.
You did it. You did it.
You know why? Because you're a nice guy. Because I like you. Now get the hell off the line and don't ever bother me again.
Take care, guys.
Paul's segment with us. I can't believe I said that. Paul's segment with us brought to you by, did you hit the dump button, Derek? Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Nate Geary in studio from 8 to 9 talking all things Bills football on this Football Friday on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
To get to the playoffs, yeah, you should be able to do that. I mean, if you look at this remaining schedule with Washington, with Miami twice, with the Jets, with the Steelers, with the Broncos on the schedule, you can probably pencil in 10 wins right there if everybody remains healthy. It's not daunting at all.
Marcel Louis-Jacques of ESPN on with Joe and Lou DiBiase, who were in for One Bills Live yesterday. Sabres play tonight a 7 o'clock face-off with the Florida Panthers, who may start Sergei Bobrovsky. We'll see if they get back on the Bobrovsky horse. He was pulled from their last game, and they mentioned with Paul they had a bag skate. Like, Panthers are mad at themselves for not holding themselves to a high standard. They were at home in that game, too, so they kind of got their doors blown off and wanted to bounce back. So maybe you get a very inspired Florida team tonight.
Like Columbus, right? Columbus was having had a bad couple games, right? And Tortorella was probably all ticked off at them. And Columbus came out and played a pretty good game against the Sabres. So we shall see.
We shall see.
That's okay. Sorry about that. Yes.
What?
Nothing.
Anything to whine about? The Yankees? Something?
I was going to want – no, I mean, it's the only one I have is stupid, you know. There's two great NFL games on at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I need them to move one. But I didn't want to whine about it because I think my chances of that happening are nil.
Yeah.
Seattle-Cleveland, Houston-KC, both happening at 1 o'clock. I can't watch two games at once. I've never been able to do that, so I can't – so I'm complaining about that.
I'm just glad the Sabres play tonight because last night, Sabres Twitter – and by that I mean a lot of people that are – on Twitter during Sabres games and like talking about the Sabres. They just needed a hockey game because the conversation was about peanut butter and pickle sandwiches.
Ugh. I've eaten pickles, by the way.
Yeah, and you've eaten peanut butter.
Once.
So then it started to drift into all of the weird sandwiches that people eat. Peanut butter and pickle, maple syrup and whipped cream sandwiches.
Maple syrup?
Yeah. It started to go, I mean, there's no reason to think that would be bad, by the way. That sounds like it would actually be good.
I do. I like sandwiches. I like maple syrup. I like whipped cream. All three together, though, I'm not sure that I... Is there something else in the bread?
I'm just wondering how that one is working.
Like, it's working because it's French toast.
That's fair, I guess.
Well, the whipped
cream part was very interesting to me.
You made it sound like it was just you took a couple pieces of bread, didn't toast them, just dunked them in maple syrup and popped whipped cream on.
That's kind of what French toast
is. Well, you got to cook them. You got to put them on the stove.
You kind of don't.
Yes, you do. It tastes better when you just
toast it and you're good to go. You can have a sandwich with toasted bread.
I mean, I feel like that's
sure you can have a sandwich with
bread.
I have sandwiches.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm reading. It says whipped cream cheese sandwich with maple syrup. Oh, okay. That's gross.
Yeah, that's
sorry.
Gross.
Austin's tweet was about that.
Whipped cream cheese sandwich with maple syrup.
I know.
I'm not sure that really goes together.
What is the weirdest thing that you
eat? I knew you were going to ask me that, and I don't have
it. For you, it's like Starburst?
Look at me.
I had Skittles once. That was wild.
I am the most boring person in the world. There's nothing I eat that's weird.
But there's things that you haven't eaten that is weird to us.
Yeah, right.
Once I baked a chicken instead of grilling it.
You can bake chicken?
Yeah. I'm trying to think what the weird,
really?
The weird, if there is a weird thing. Like the Don Cherry story about his salmon sandwiches, the gross thing?
Nope.
Yeah.
I don't go out on a line with food. I play it very safe. Food to me is sacred.
You play
it
too safe.
But no, see, you can't mess with food.
You're like Trent Edwards with food.
I am Captain Checkdown with food because you know what? I am not throwing that ball into a tight window. I am dumping it off for a 2-yard loss to the running back. Yeah, does that make sense?
All right, you ready for this? We got some texts on this, which I knew would happen. Bacon and peanut butter on toasted bread, delicious. Not surprising. Okay? A burger with peanut butter and jelly on it. Have heard of that. Have seen it. Never done it. Sounds like it would be fine. Peanut butter, banana, and Miracle Whip. Just dismiss yourself.
Peanut butter, banana, and Miracle Whip.
Sir or ma'am.
Ooh.
Oh, that just ruined my morning.
That's horrible.
You just don't like the Miracle Whip with that combo?
Oh, my
just
God.
Just peanut butter banana on its own would have been okay.
All the time.
Yeah. But not the Miracle
peanut
Whip.
Peanut butter and banana is a staple of my childhood.
Is there anything you could put on other than Miracle Whip with the peanut butter and banana?
Literally anything.
Whipped cream?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Because I'll whipped cream.
I mean, so far we're describing sundaes, ice cream sundaes that you put on bread, which is fine, but Miracle Whip is bad.
I like an ice cream sundae on bread. That sounds actually
very
good.
So, yeah, like I said, it's a good thing there's a game tonight because this might have really turned into something.
Yeah.
Last night, peanut butter and dill pickles, and people were just trying it.
Man.
The texter asks, what do you define as a checkdown meal? The list of meals would be pretty hilarious, I think.
A checkdown meal is basically just safe food. I don't experiment with stuff.
A checkdown is on the kids' menu.
No, I eat off
hot
the
dogs,
adult.
Chicken.
I eat off the adult menu.
Do you?
Yes. I do. I eat up because they
hot dogs,
they
chicken
me,
finger,
they won't
burger,
give me the kid price.
Mozzarella sticks are on the checkdown menu. The food checkdown menu is the stuff that you know. Listen, it might not be that good, but at least I know it's not going to be that bad.
They're not going to screw it up. It's going to come out okay. I'm not going to be angry at the meal. When I get done, if I'm not happy with the meal, I get very angry.
Is pizza a checkdown meal?
I feel like pizza is a checkdown.
I do
meal.
Too. I think it's a checkdown.
It's an old reliable.
Yeah. Sometimes it can go for a big game, but pizza's a checkdown.
It's like a solid 5-yarder to the tight end.
No, you could have bad pizza. You could screw it up.
Yeah, but the worst pizza's still not that bad.
Come on. You've never left a pizza joint thinking, oh, my God, that's terrible pizza, and
yeah,
you're really unhappy
about it. But it's still pizza.
It's still food.
See, if you can screw up the meal, that means a lot to me. So that's why I go very safe stuff.
Like, I'll shamefully admit, like, sometimes I'm just feeling lazy. I'll have, like, cereal for dinner.
Sure, I had that the other night.
That's a checkdown meal.
Yeah. I had cereal for
cereal's
dinner the
other checkdown,
night.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk more Bills football when we get back. Nate Geary's going to join us in studio. It is Football Friday, brought to you by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino, the official casino of the Buffalo Bills.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.